The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidley in the hizzy.
Yes, sir.
Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. By the way, are you officially a producer anymore? What's your story? What's your title now?
No, I'm just that guy.
Yeah.
Just Kelly Thiessen.
Okay.
Danny does all the hard work.
I was told you lord over the producers now. Is that true?
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
I would love to know who said that.
I got a lot of information last week. You weren't supposed to be here this week. I was told on Friday. I was like, wait, nobody told me that.
Why it was really confusing people on Friday.
We get Tweet Speed of the Book. Chance Copperpot says he took Shuck at 10-1 on September 4th simply because I thought he would get the most rookie playing time at quarterback. I could have gotten a way better number, but here I am rooting for Shuck nonetheless. James Fessler, the Raiders have won two games this season, beating Cam Ward and, checks notes, Drake May. Should be an auto disqualifier for MVP. By the way, it's also the game that gives the Broncos the tiebreaker over the Patriots, common opponents. And the Raiders' loss by the Patriots is the difference right now between them getting a number one seed and not, or at least going to another tiebreaker, I should say. Harold Irving, did we just hear the beginning of Chocolate Rain from Matt Cox playing on his keyboards there? What was that? And Jason H11, Kelly, if you listened to the highly acclaimed and award-winning Megapod hosted by Todd Wishnev last week, totally is his podcast, you would have known that Ben Wilson did voiceovers for the NBA, slacker.
I apologize. I did miss last week's episode. I was driving somewhere in the middle of the state of Florida.
By the way, Vegas runner, Ace, man who used to co-host the show, is the guest today. I don't think Ace is going to be in studio. I think he's doing it remotely. I believe.
Always good to have him on, though.
Always good. It's a throwback. Ladies and gentlemen, he is back from his Christmas vacation to Savannah, Georgia. Drew Densick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. He's got not one but two podcasts, co-hosted with Andy Molitor on the first, Densick Classic, we call it, The Deep Dive. And then, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. Drew Densick joining us now. How you doing, Drew? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, you as well. Hope you guys enjoyed a lighter week last week in terms of a workload. And hopefully everybody has a lighter work week this week. It's my favorite work week of the year because I hardly get any phone calls or emails or Teams messages. It's nice and quiet. You can get, you know, that project you've had on the back burner that you just like, I really just need a couple quiet days to be able to get this done. It's happening this week. And if not, then, you know, you can just kick your feet up and catch up on movies and TV and enjoy some good wine and good food.
What does Drew Densick do on New Year's Eve? I'm curious. Is that a big deal
typically,
for you?
Shows off his Dodgers futures bets at the same bar.
That's right. <Duh. laughs> Look at my Dodgers futures bets.
You guys remember when they won the World Series?
That I do. Awesome. Yes.
the typical move is because we spend Christmas Eve and Christmas with my family. We usually spend New Year's Eve with my wife's family. So have them over for second Christmas during the day and do a nice meal. And then we usually just do a cruise around the town, drink some good wine. I always save, you know, I always save one or two bottles that were kind of wine of the year to open on New Year's Eve. And wow. I got a couple of those.
See, that's the kind of answer I'm looking for.
So what is it? What is it? Can I beat the Friday deep dive? Or no way, that's already going to be passed. You probably already discussed it. What's the wine of the year?
No, actually we haven't. We didn't even plan on what day at a time we're going to unveil the wine of the year, but it'll probably be Friday. I think it's going to be the Vieux Telegraph Chateau Neuf du Pas. That was the winner.
I was going to say that one.
It's your favorite.
It was on the tip of my tongue. Yeah.
If I had a dollar for every time Gil Alexander said Chateau Neuf du Pas to me. Yeah.
Wow. You're Drew Densick is leads a good life and he enjoys many aspects of life. I respect it.
Chateau Neuf du Pas, of course, the name of the town, is very, very well known in Southern Rhone for the Grenache, Syrah Mourvèdre blend. A GSM, if you will. Chateau Neuf du Pas, It's beyond just famous for wine. They've been growing wine there since like the 13th century. It's called Chateau Neuf de Pas because at one point the papacy went to a French Pope, and he was like, you know what? We're going to move Vatican City to France. I've had enough of Rome. It's coming to France. And he set up shop in Chateau Neuf de Pas, which in French means home of the new Pope.
Wow.
And it didn't last there long. The powers that be ripped it back to Rome, where Vatican City currently stays. But the town's still called Chateau Neuf de Pas, and it's kind of known for the terroir as real gravelly. You know, it's like cobbles and gravel with very, very little like residual soil and topsoil. And so the vines have to go way deep to get the water they need to sustain. And in doing though, that struggle for water really gives the grapes like this enormous depth of flavor. And, you know, the gravelly characteristics from, you know, just from the subsoil are clear and obvious. Beyond just that, this incredible depth of flavor. Their style for winemaking itself is unique in terms of the barrels they use to for fermentation and all that. So it's a pretty special wine, and it's one that'll age for 30 years. I got one on the shelf that you know, anniversary year that I'm excited to open for 20th anniversary. And of what I tried this year, their 2023 bottling was the best of any worldwide wine I tried.
Hey, Drew, we don't need you wasting time on this show with with facts that everybody knows.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know all this stuff. No, that's fair. By the way, are there any Kalshi or Polymarket markets about like wine of the year kind of things?
Oh, yeah.
Because are my guest, my friend. Yeah. You are the guy. I've got just the guy.
Yeah. Did you catch what happened there? It was like I threw up the alley for him to oop down with the wine of the year, and he just took the ball and ran out to the 3-point line and shot a three instead. Like, let me teach you about history of the Pope as well.
Good, good basketball segue, because I do have a question. Obviously, Nikola Jokic, with the injury last night, and the first question of the show I asked Kelly was, I was like, was that contact or non-contact? I couldn't tell. Is there a bet now? I hate to, you know, look, guys, for those who aren't familiar with betting shows, we'd like to apologize in advance that we hope the best for Nikola Jokic. But our point here is to try to figure out if there's a way to bet this kind of thing. Getting ahead of any news, it doesn't sound like from some that it's the worst injury in the world, but perhaps it could keep him out a while. Is there an MVP bet now that you would make because of this development?
Yeah, so just speculating here, no inside information. Looked like a hyperextension, maybe a bone bruise. Worst case scenario, he's got some damage to some cartilage. They go in there and they'll scope it. I don't think that there was any structural damage, just based on, you know, the how much movement you saw. But I'm just eyeballing, and I'm not a doctor. My guess is he'll probably miss a month of basketball. He may be ineligible for MVP altogether.
Yeah.
So him still in the plus 450 seems kind of wrong. SGA is now a heavy, healthy favorite to win this. You know, and it's not just because the Thunder are going to win close to 70 games, but you know, what he's doing this year is pretty ridiculous, and he was probably going to win anyway. Now it's just theirs instead of too likely, you know, down the stretch head to head, make their case. There's just one. And I think Luka Doncic is a risk of qualifying just because of his in and out availability, on top of the fact that the Lakers aren't very good. I think SGA at minus 240, if you want to lock up, if you had a great football season, you haven't made a single NBA bet all year, and you just want to lock something away to get paid in May. I think they give the award out like mid to late May.
Yeah.
Sounds right. SGA minus 240 should be closer to minus 600. I mean, really, it's just an injury to him that would knock him out. And he is an extremely available player. So not to jinx him, knocking on wood here, but it should probably be more like minus 500, minus 600.
Just for giggles, if I came to you from the future and I said, it's not Jokic, it's not Shea, who's the guy?
Well, if it's not Shea, it's because of injury. And if Shea gets injured, I'm not sure OKC is for sure the one seed in the West. I would not put Doncic third personally. And you're kind of creating a situation where it's just the guy who qualified who's going to be all, an all NBA guy. That could be anyone from, it could be anyone from Cade Cunningham to Brunson. You could see Jaylen Brown get consideration. I mean, you're if it's not Shea, it's because he's misqualifying, and then that opens up the door to someone coming from the clouds.
So those are the three names I wrote down as well, Gil. I knew we would get to that question. If it's not SGA, who is it? Brunson, Cade Cunningham, Jaylen Brown. Just an update. Luka's missed 7 games. Wemby's missed 11. Giannis has missed 14. Anthony Edwards has missed 7. Add on whatever Jokic is going to miss.
Which is what disqualifies all those
guys. This could be a big drop if something happens to SGA.
Drew, any NBA plays today?
I had a great run into Christmas. And then since then, the level of effort has been a little suspect across the association. We're getting a little bit of a vibe of no one else is working around the holidays. Why should we? So it's been somewhat chaotic. I'm staked down NFL and NBA now just because of how wild card things are. But I laid the Pistons against the aforementioned Clippers who stink. The aforementioned Lakers who stink. That was a Freudian slip because the Clippers are good now, surprisingly. I took the money line on the Grizzlies. I think the Sixers, the market is still lagging on how poorly they're playing. So Grizz and Pistons for me.
I got to follow up on that Christmas swoon question because it's not just you. Some other great cappers having this problem too. Coming up on A Numbers Game with Drew.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks.
Omaha,
the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. V-S-I-N, that is. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. We get tweets beating the book. Lance Schaefer. What's the rule about award voters betting on the awards? They could influence other voters with money or by leading the narrative towards their bet. Just wondering. It's a good question. Is there a rule about that?
I don't know.
My point before, though, Lance, was just them knowing the odds could influence them. Like, even if, let's say they decide, let's say in their head, they're like, well, I'm gonna vote for Bijan. And then they see the betting odds. Some folks might change the way they then vote just based on that.
Man, you would think there would be or should be that rule baked in for voters, but I don't know that there is.
Forrest Lehman. So my local out rules ties worth half a win on season win totals. Never ran into this amazingly. Is that a standard or does it vary? This just in, Forrest. A tie is not a win half, quarter, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Take your money and run. Be happy with it.
And then texts and tweets about Drewski's first segment. This is from our buddy Lou Finicaro, Sweet Lou, Gambaloo. He says, Chateau Neuf de Pas, or as it translates on text, autocorrects to Chateau News de Pop, is world-class wine made in world-class temperature with Pinot Noir grapes. It's the wine that the Mondavis tested their Pinot Noir against when they were producing. That from Lou Finicaro. Of course, we'll fact-check that with Drew in a moment. Three Jack H 3131 is Drew talking about wine or is this a Tour de France betting preview? I believe that was a Tour de France betting preview, if I'm not mistaken. Did you get your Tour de France picks from that?
No, not yet.
David Montgomery. Sometimes I play football. He says, watching the first hour. If you ever need info on sports injuries, Brian Sutter, MD, is the go-to guy. His YouTube channel is must watch. In my opinion, he's an orthopedic doc who knows sports at a very high level. Check him out. P.S. He thinks Jokic is probably okay. Chris Heath. Soil technician Drew Dinsick. Super jerk. Oh boy, this will be good.
Man, it's been a minute, Super Jerk. Where you been?
He says, I don't care what Drew says. I'm still going to a liquor store to get my gallon of Thunderbird for New Year's. Aya Oya 69 says that learning about wine and history is way better than having to listen about math. Oh, you don't like when we go math or tax code radio? You don't like those shows? Sam Ginsberg from Pittsburgh, PA says, it sounds like Drew really knows about wines in France, but didn't Todd just cover that exact information on the last Megapod? You're right, he did. Drew's just biting off Todd, I'm sure. Sure he is. And then Trotsky, what a pure masterclass from Drew on wine from the Chateauneuf du region in France. Thanks and Happy New Year. Drew Dinsick, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
back for an encore after his performance in segment number one, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line at whale_capper, joins us once again. First of all, Lou is on. Is Lou correct in his Pinot Noir analysis there?
I don't want to step on him.
Oh, he's do it. Close. Debate.
Oh, boy. Wine debate.
Chateau Neuf de Pas, Southern Rhone. Rhone varietals are Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, and Cinesol. I think he's thinking of Burgundy. And there's plenty of other similar sounding chateaus in Burgundy. But that Burgundy is your Pinot Noir grape from France. And that is the kind of the world-class grape. I mean, people will hold up Bordeaux as the best because it'll age the most gracefully. I would take a Burgundy over Bordeaux 9 times out of 10.
Wow. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, a numbers game appealing to the highest income.
And all this, we're talking about New Year's Eve wine, and we haven't even mentioned champagne. Tune in next year. We'll break down champagne region.
It's like we're a smooth jazz radio station appealing to the highest demographic of income.
I do have one other comment on the preamble there. If you are a voter for an NFL award, you are not allowed to bet on them. Sure. And in general, there is sort of if you work for the NFL Network, if you work for a lot of publications, you're not allowed to bet. Period. Like that is absolutely like a clear line. The point you made about looking at the odds.
Yes.
And the odds kind of being the tail that wags the dog is 1,000,000% correct.
Yeah.
Like unquestionably. And you know, it's the same. It's a weird like human phenomenon where the people who are putting their ballot together, they don't want to look stupid. They don't want to be an outlier.
That's right.
Some of them do want to be contrarian and may look at the odds board and be like, I'm going to give this guy some shine because he's not going to get the credit, right? Like there certainly are people who will go out of their way to do contrarian things, but
sadly,
in general, the body politic will gravitate towards, I want my ballot to be right. And it's perceived as right if I pick the guy who ultimately wins, right? And that absolutely is tail wagging the dog. It's a circular. It's pretty unique how the market itself can influence this. It's pretty unique how you can get information on what people vote. You're allowed to talk about it. You're allowed to talk about who you voted for. You're allowed to talk about who you will vote for before you've cast your ballot. Like all of that is kind of fair game. And yet like the mark, if you can grind that information out, then you have a massive edge in those futures pools.
The upshot, though, of what you say, the tail wagging the dog, to use your expression, which I think is an apt one here. The upshot of that is that kind of sucks for bettors, right? Because it minimizes the opportunity for greatness, right? It minimizes the opportunity to actually hit on some long shot. Doesn't eliminate that possibility, but probably minimizes it. You would agree.
I would actually go the other way. If you have influence in the market and you can shorten a guy like Marcus Smart for DPOY from 200-1 to -200, then all of a sudden people are like, oh, I should be considering Marcus Smart as DPOY.
I didn't say influencing the market, Drew. I said for betters. Drew takes moment.
Like if your opinion carries enough weight and you can move a long shot, your Bijan Robinson take is extremely correct. If you hit the drum, if you beat the drum loud enough and if you hit it with a hot account and that 100-1 turns into 10-1, then all of a sudden you know, the gambling reporters out there who are putting stuff on Twitter, like, wow, Bijan Robinson shortening. Well, and then there's like a, you know, the stampede, right. You know, and there's word of mouth, like, oh my gosh, you know, this guy who always wins awards bets, he just bet Bijan Robinson. No, you're going, I got to get some of that.
You're correct. Yeah. But that's someone in sports betting media like myself or like yourself.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Making sure the wag is going in the direction I want it to. Right. Correct. That precedes the voters who likely don't bet. Then looking at the number. So we're both correct, I think. And you're right about that.
By the way, Drew, in
the history of this show, I have not been above beating the drum on someone I think should win an award. Yeah, don't get me wrong on that. You said your stake down on NBA, also in NFL week 18. However, right, to use the transition, did you bet something in week 18 nonetheless with stake down?
Yeah, the hardest thing to handicap week 18 isn't getting the news and information about player availability. There, you can speculate on that. Like Andy and I were doing it yesterday, talking about the Chargers. We're literally like, you know, they're you know, they don't have anything to play for. Like they would be kind of insane to play Herbert, right?
He's out.
Yeah,
he's
would out. Be. And then and now he's out. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, but yesterday, as we were kind of considering that. Like that market was still, you know, very bettable for Broncos. Now its ship has sailed. You know, and as you accumulate information on, you know, who will play what, when, and like, you know, great example is the Rams, right? Like Rams are probably going to play a couple series with Stafford and Puka, get them their incentives or whatever, you know, whatever they're trying to do by playing those guys, get the, you know, taste out of their mouth of the loss last night. And then it'll be Jimmy G time. They're still going up against the Cardinals team that doesn't have any, available talent. I don't think that Jimmy G is going to have a problem covering a number versus the Cardinals, even with the backups out there. So Rams to me look like fine play at 7.5. You know, kind of handicapping motivation is extremely tough. And I've spent most of my time so far this week thinking about games where you have, you know, both teams are trying hard. I agree with the market movement in favor of the Panthers against the Buccaneers. I think the injury to Baker Mayfield's being slightly undercovered. Just in general, the absence of Jamel Dean might matter. For those of us who are cheering on the mother shucker, we have a little bit to worry about that Jamel Dean's not going to be out there defending Teddero and McMillan in a standalone game that will decide the division. And I think the Panthers very live to win that one. In the nightcap on Saturday, I laid Seattle. I think Seattle is in a prime spot to exercise the strength of their defense against the great, you know, the wizard that is Kyle Shanahan. And I think the Niners defense is a problem. So I make that number closer to 2.5. I laid 1. Going against the Bears here, I think the Bears are stinky frauds, and I think the Lionos are going to come in and they're going to try hard. I think the Lions beat the Bears, and that actually has an important implication on the fabric of the seeding for the NFC. So go through that mental exercise and just see how that shakes up.
Not just frauds, but stinky frauds. Stinky. Drew, Happy New Year, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, best luck, guys.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. Check them out. Check out the QR code. You can scan for more there on screen. Sharpplays.com. We get tweets beating the book. This is from Ryan Thompson. I have 2 win totals coming down to week 18. Packers over 9.5, Falcons over 7.5. Do I moneyline parlay on Vikings and Saints as insurance? Thoughts? Maybe a question for Fezzik. Well, no, because if you parlay and you lose one leg of the parlays, you know, it's not the perfect, again, these aren't clean. You know what I mean?
Got breaking news, Gil.
Uh-oh.
Nikola Jokic update.
Oh, no.
It's not the bad news.
Oh, okay.
Drew was basically right, though, exactly. Hyperextension is what he's been diagnosed with. Will miss at least 4 weeks.
So there it is. No more MVP.
There it is.
Yeah.
But sweet night of MVP betting last night.
Yeah.
Stafford and Jokic.
Yeah, we'll get to Jeff Erickson here momentarily because I want to ask him about Stafford and I want to ask him about Offensive Player of the Year. DeBetter. Oh, responding to the other tweet where Brosek was saying, I'm a better, not a fan. He says, not just a better, the voice. and more than are the bomb. I don't know what that means, but thank you. Sounds good. Chance Copperpot, I feel like my lifetime ROI needs to be above 30% to understand what Drew is saying about wines. Bobby Knuckles, can we do some wine pairings per sport? Like what goes best with some NBA guys? What about tennis betting? What if it's a multi-sport parlay? Chris Valico on text has the idea for the idea for the greatest podcast ever.
Chris chimed in with talking about Chris Fowler knowing a lot about wine. So yeah. I was like, well, there you go, Gil. That's your tennis pod for the first one of the year. It's a wine / tennis pod with Drew and Chris Fowler, and you just set those two up.
Wine and tennis.
We'd have to get like a really like between two ferns set up for you. Totally. Like something really, really fancy. What are we talking about? Just go to the win. Something real fancy.
Martle J, great tweet earlier from an ANG listener on odds potentially influencing voter decision made me think it could work the other way. If I'm 50-50 on a decision, but see market overreaction, might go the other way. Also, I enjoy betting petty sometimes. Yeah, Martle J, my point about all that, though, is, and Drew is corroborating this, is most people are not contrarian, right? Most people are followers, and most people don't want to appear wrong. So if they see the betting odds, most, not all, most are likely to take what might have been their honest, organic opinion, look at the betting odds as, oh my God, my guy that I think is the offensive player of the year is 100-1. I must be wrong. I don't want to seem dumb. Let me change it to someone else kind of thing. Jeff Erickson joins us now from RotoWire. He is not only, of course, a writer at RotoWire and the co-host of the RotoWire Fantasy Sports Today show on Sirius XM 87, senior editor over there, but he's also a founder of the company at Jeff with a J_Erickson. Joins us now courtesy of Progressive Guest Line. Jeff, happy new year, first of all. Good morning to you, sir.
Happy new year. Thanks for having me on, as always, boys.
I'm curious about, let's start with MVP. I'm sure you have some thoughts on this. A huge swing last night after the Stafford performance. And by performance, I mean a couple picks there, Xavier Watts. -400 now on Drake May. That's a little much of a swing, isn't it?
Seems like it. It just shows if it's that volatile in week 17, what does it say about the market in the first place is what I want to know. But May threw a perfect game. It was against the Jets, so it's like punching down and playing. It's like Alabama facing a Division II school, but it still counts nonetheless. It's not like Atlanta's like this thicket that you were walking into there that you were like, oh, yeah, of course it's expected. No, it's Atlanta. That's the reason why I think it was such a dramatic shift there as well. And the fact that it was a standalone island game, I think that probably hurt him a lot as well. And the thing is, Stafford really doesn't have a chance to change the voters' minds because at best, he's playing for fifth seed now. I think that's the part that really hurts him.
Yeah, by the way, I shortchanged him. He had three picks last night, not just two, to Watts. I'm more curious about your thoughts about offensive player of the year. We threw up a blind resume earlier on the show with four of the top offensive player of the year candidates, actually the four top offensive player of the year candidates in the markets whose price is very wildly, from a -275 in Jackson Smith and Jigba all the way to triple digits on Bijan Robinson. Here's the blind resume. And I'm curious, just a glance for you. Can you distinguish an offensive player of the year from that? Is there one that stands above, or is it just throw all four up in the air and pick your favorite?
This is probably going to be a totally narrative driven award, I think. And it's going to come down to Seattle versus San Francisco on Saturday night. I think we're going to see this head to head matchup here. And if one of the two stands out, that's probably going to be what shifts the narrative, shifts the voting a little bit there. If McCaffrey goes off, who's to say that that's just going to flip real quickly like that there. I like getting plus odds on Christian McCaffrey right now. I'll tell you that much.
Do you like getting 100-1 on Bijan? By the way, down to 60-1 now at Caesars.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the damage is done for him. He gets to face the Saints this week. I mean, he killed me in one of my fantasy championships last night, so I'd probably vote for him. But, just because I know exactly what happened there. But
Let me just riff on that.
And I know
he did win a lot of people their fantasy championships, right? Isn't he like the greatest player in fantasy this year? Or at least one of them.
He probably ends up as the one. But, I mean, the thing is, it's shifted. It was Taylor for the longest time. Then it was JSN for the longest time. I went up against a team that had Bijan and Trey McBride. And, there's a lot of people that made it to at least the semifinals of the playoffs with Trey McBride because it was such a huge advantage over everybody else at the position. Derrick Henry, though, fed families on Saturday night as well. So I know someone who winner of the National Fantasy Football Primetime Championship there. It's a $1,800 entry league with a $250,000 grand prize. Derrick Henry, one of the Derrick Henry owners won that. So that, you know, because he had three great games. It's a 3-week playoff for that. And he had three really good games, including the 4-touchdown game on Saturday night. So it's interesting. It's not just what a great season you had, it's when you had that great season.
So I also bring up, Gil, like if we're going to talk about some of these odds moving, influencing people, who's to say something like that doesn't influence someone?
Which part?
Winning a fantasy championship, you know, fantasy championship, having a huge game. The other one we have not brought up of the, okay, if it's McCaffrey, offensive player of the year, comeback player of the year, is he winning both of them? Does that matter? Are we going both?
I brought that up last week. I think McCaffrey winning comeback may disqualify him.
We thought that hurt him.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, let's say it switches. Let's say he wins offensive player of the year. Do you think it's Trevor Lawrence or Dak Prescott all of a sudden that's comeback player of the year? They're giving both to him.
There is no definitive answer to this.
Yeah.
You know, you would agree Jaxon Smith-Njigba has kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
He has, I'm kind of acutely tapped into that there from the fantasy perspective, either having him or going against him in various leagues and, you know, trying to parse that out. The entire Seattle offense, absent the Rams game, has slowed down in the last month. I mean, let's not forget there was the Minnesota game. There was the Atlanta game that was also 6-6 at halftime. They've struggled get to work early offensively in games. They've had to have these miracle comebacks more often than not. They probably won't have Rashid Shaheed on Saturday night, too, by the way. And he's been a key component of some of these turnaround games. The big punt return against the Rams. Just the Colts drive where he had the kick return and two receptions on the game-winning drive. Seattle's been kind of offensively for about 6 weeks now.
Yeah. How did your fantasy championships go? You brought that up. How did they go for you?
I had three championship games. I only won one, unfortunately. Ran into Henry in one league, ran into Bijan in another league, held on for dear life, was up against Stafford and Puka last night. And that was the winning combination to get to the finals. So I kind of enjoyed last night as far as that goes.
There you go. Got a championship under your belt. All right. As far as week 18, you like one game above all, perhaps?
Yeah, I really like the Bears still at 2.5 against the Lions, who might be sitting a ton of players, including Penei Sewell, who got hurt in that Minnesota game. I just think that the Lions, I mean, I know there's the narrative that Dan Campbell will never give up. You know, they ruined Green Bay season. They can't ruin the Bears season. First of all, I think there's not as much at stake as far as the Lions being a spoiler. I just think that the weight of all the injuries in this season is going to just kind of come to bear here. And there's just too much to handle, too many secondary injuries there. I set my line at 4.5 in this game, so I'll take the Bears at -2.5.
By the way, Bears win. They are the number 2 seed in the NFC. Bears.
And that matters a ton this year.
Matters a ton because you're getting Green Bay at home versus either the Rams or Seahawks, right?
Right. And not only that, but then you get if you do win your first round game, you get a home game instead of going to Philly in January. I know they beat the Eagles on Black Friday, but that was with the damaged Jalen Carter. I think it's different now. You don't want to have a rematch of that one there. So I think they'd much, much rather have the 2 seed. And I think they'll play hard the whole game.
Yeah, they lose and the Eagles win, then the Bears fall to a 3 seed. That also brings up that San Francisco-Seattle game, which, again, stinks that it's on Saturday, I think.
I agree.
But it's totally like, if San Francisco wins that, not only do they win the West, not only do they get the number 1 seed, but in the process, they knock the Rams down to a 6, which means they wouldn't have to play the Rams until a championship game based on the bracket. And Fred Warner could be back for that. Mm-hmm. So like it's absolutely massive, this game between the Niners and the Seahawks, in all kinds of different directions. Jeff, always a pleasure, man. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Thanks, guys.
Jeff Erickson, everybody. Love having Jeff on the show at Jeff_Erickson. We'll come back. More football power rankings coming up.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Caleb Bidelon in the house. We get tweets beating the book. This is from Jack Olaquire. who says, Gil and Kelly, happy new year. Lori and I listen every morning to our favorite show. We have a place in Pompano Beach, so we know how brutal driving is down there. If Kelly was driving around Florida, I'd set the over-under at 3.5 times that he cheated death while you were down there.
Yeah, that was probably about fair. Yeah.
Well,
Pompano. Right by there. Right by there, Jack.
By the way, rain at the Rose Bowl expected for the Indiana game.
Wes Reynolds on location for us tomorrow.
Wes Reynolds on location. And then Dustin Sweetles going to cash it out. Anderson Cooper, Andy Cohen style, going to be out on the town for New Year's Eve on cashing out. Yes? No?
Yeah, I really hope so. I really hope so.
Awesome. Be awesome. Buddhist Man riffing off Jay Khan's appearance earlier about the under 20 World Juniors. He got Chechia at 16-1 over there at Advocate Skirmish, she said.
Okay.
FanDuel had the best number on Chechia, 16-1 if you're down to bet the 2026 IIHF World Junior Championship outright, under 20. And then Ace de Cardano chimes in. He goes, last call on Bijan, 25-1 at a very popular book and around 30-1 at Kalshi. Still great numbers available other places. But here it comes. Ladies and gentlemen, let us see. We have done this, Kelly and I have, all 18 weeks, really all 20 weeks, when you add Thanksgiving and Christmas, of Circus Survivor 6, the $18,718,000 pool for Circus Survivor. Now, we always, the two of us, make this assessment where, you know, as the year goes on, right, this is wildly popular week one, week two, week three, week four, and then, you know, people start to get knocked out. By this time, you know, by, I don't know, week 13, whatever the week was, where, you know, Thanksgiving was the true carnage, right? That 10-day period.
Yep.
After that, it's sort of like, are we talking into the wind? Because certainly the people who are still alive, they're not listening to us, for God's sakes. They've done what they have. And there's so few people in their local Circus Survivor pool, their local Survivor pool, pardon me, in addition to Circus Survivor. But for the sake of thoroughness, just to clean it out for the rest of the year, just so we don't stop prematurely on this, here it is, the final six in Circus Survivor 6. This is all courtesy, the availability courtesy of our buddy K-Flo, K-Florenz1 on Twitter, who has helped us out with all of these numbers.
So would you like to just read through all these, or would you like to wait a little bit? Because we might be frozen up in the back.
Oh, well, we can talk about it. How about that?
Yeah, okay.
By the way, every entry has used, so there's a bunch of, obviously, you know, a bunch of favorites this week that are, you know, big favorites, but everybody's used Baltimore. That's not one of those, but Buffalo, for instance, Dallas, Denver, Detroit, Green Bay, Houston, Indianapolis, Chargers, Rams, Seattle. Everybody's used all those teams.
There's some of those, like
many of whom are big numbers.
There's some of those that was just shocking to me that people had remaining as late into the year as they did. Like, but like Buffalo, the Rams, Green Bay. Like I had circled for so many spots early in the season.
Those are the ones they don't have. Nobody.
No, I know. Yeah. But like some of those, as of like a couple weeks ago, yeah, there was like one Buffalo left. Like, really?
Well, there's six people left. Now I pointed this out last week, that to me, looking ahead, New England and Jacksonville were going to be the best matchups, right? One person still has their Jacksonville. That is Real Bro 3. Real Bro 3 has Jacksonville still available. So Real Bro 3 is absolutely going to use Jacksonville. He's the only one with Jacksonville left. Jacksonville, big favorite over, is it Tennessee this week that they play?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The other one was New England. New England's at Miami, not quite as juicy, but three of the four that still had New England going into last week used them. So the only person with New England left is Gary A10. He's probably going to go New England. He's the only one with New England left. Touchdown favorites right now at Miami, somewhere in that pocket, I believe. The other four, Dylan W10, Juicy Coochie 7, Kick Your Knees Up 1 and Parts 1-9. All of them going to have decisions to make. In the case of Dylan W10, Atlanta to me is probably his best play. Everything else is either dogs or like shorter.
Yeah.
Juicy Coochie 7, Atlanta or Minnesota. Remember, Minnesota's playing a Green Bay team that is locked into a 7 seed. So Green Bay has nothing to play for. Kick Your Knees Up, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Minnesota, or Philly. He has all four of those to choose from.
He's got some options.
He's got options.
Because you would like to say on some of these, you'd like to say, well, sit and see what you hear this week on some of these player availabilities, right? But yeah. if you've only got one or two really good ones anyways.
And parts 1-9 is really Carolina or Cincinnati. I mean, excuse me, Atlanta or Cincinnati, pardon me. So Kick Your Knees Up has the most options. Kick Your Knees Up has the most options. Gary A10 is the one who's the only one with New England left. And Real Bro 3 is the only one with Jacksonville left of those six. Everybody, the other three all kind of have a Atlanta or Atlanta versus Minnesota or Atlanta versus Cincinnati. So that's it. Those are the six. Right now, each of those entries, each of those remaining entries is worth more than $3 million.
Good luck to all. Good luck to all still involved.
Yeah, good luck to all. By the way, precisely intrinsic value, implied value is $3,119,666.67. And I don't think there's, I would imagine there's no chop talk. I could be very wrong about that. I haven't followed. But when someone has, when the Real Bro 3 guy who has Jacksonville and nobody else does,
right,
he's like, I'm not chopping with you guys, at least not evenly. Maybe for a different amount of money he would. So there's that. We get tweets meeting the book, Sweet Lou Monaco. Fellas, iHeartRadio gave me a summary of my listening habits for this year. They concluded that I've listened to over 49,000 minutes of VEASAN overall for all shows. Should I seek help or celebrate? Happy New Year to you both and keep winning. You too, Sweet Lou. Thanks for all the, from all of us here at VEASAN. Thank you so much. Thank you for your support.
I did get my Spotify Wrapped, and it was like the number of minutes. I don't know if I ever want to see that part again. It is like, I really listened to this many podcasts for this long this year. It's a disturbing number.
JP points out, even if the Rams are the sixth seed and away from the one seed side of the bracket, the NFL does reseed after every round. Yes, they do. So the one seed would still have a good chance to get the Rams if the Rams win their first round game, unless the Packers pull an upset. Yeah, again, maybe, maybe not, right? Because even in that case, right, you're talking about 2-7, 3-6, 4-5. And so the, yeah, I mean, it's possible, right? But if everybody does what they're supposed to do, then not so much. And I don't think the Packers upset, quote unquote, is that unlikely. By the way, would the Packers really be a dog in a game at Chicago with Jordan Love? I'm not sure they would be. So anyway, the thinking stands the same for me about how San Francisco can get a lot accomplished, not guaranteed with that stuff with the bracket, but they can get a lot accomplished even beyond with that. And Fred Warner, let me just say this again, Fred Warner could be back for the championship game. Mm-hmm. If the Niners are to get that far. You had some college football in here, too. Did you want to say something about college football here, Kelly?
Yeah, just going to run through games that we've got coming bets? Up here next couple of days. I haven't made a single bet. I know you fired on every single one.
I fired on every single one. Not so well on Miami. I got the worst of it. I thought I was going to come down. I got Miami plus 8.5 prematurely. So by the way, you catch that nickname that Drew gave Tyler Shuck? You think Berman would have said that nickname on the primetime?
I'm not sure about that. It's a good one, though. I like it. I think I'll be joining you on. I'm just not in a hurry on either of these numbers. I think I'm going to be joining you on Miami and Texas Tech. Not sure about the rest of them. Got a couple great guests coming up next couple days, though. Want to hear what they've got to say. Wes on tomorrow with us. Chris Felico will be on Thursday before games kick off.
Yep. PFU Tech on later today.
Yep.
As well. We shall do that.
And get everybody's thoughts about this stuff.
Real quick then on coach of the year, or excuse me, rookie of the year. Where do you stand on rookie of the year now?
Dude, I think there's going to be some pissed off people out there whenever this gets decided. I get it. I think it's pretty wide open between like four or five guys.
I do too.
I just don't.
As I do for coach.
I'm not as sold on the Shuck stuff as others seem to be. It's just, it's not a lot of games that he's played. I think that matters. And we've talked about the comparing just the stats to Jackson Dart. I think that's important. And then like at a certain point this was a great race, and it's just kind of sputtered out towards mm-hmm. the end. I mean, Tetteroa McMillan, we were talking about McMillan, Igbuka, and Tyler Warren being like top 10 in receiving yards at one point this season, like halfway through the year. It's just not the case anymore. Each one of their cases is not as good. So yeah, man, I don't know who it's going to go to. I really don't. I have a feeling that game on Saturday is probably going to end up mattering more than it should for this race.
Do we have this available or no? It's still, we're still nope. frozen on.
Yep.
All right. We were trying to stall for the Circus Survivor graphic to come up, but it did not. And we worked so hard on that graphic. Anyway, there you go. We gave it its proper, if you
stick
will.
Around. We might have it.
Yeah, we might have it later. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I don't know. We got a whole another hour to get to. And we will do so with Pete Futak and more talk, including our power rankings in the NFL. 16 deep. All the teams still eligible for the postseason, including those who have already clinched. Next on A Numbers Game, right?